who is the author and finisher of our faith. We ask Brother Kennedy if he would lead us, Lord, in prayer this morning.
Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ, O merciful Father, we look unto you this morning again, O God.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your new mercies, your compassions, your health, your strength.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for your great faithfulness towards us.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you this morning we can come and look to your word, O God. O Heavenly Father, we all came here with an intent, O God, to seek you.
Yes.
Something from you, Lord. May you manifest yourself this morning, O God, yes, amongst us. Bless your word, O God. Help your servant, O God.
Yes.
Push him aside, O God, and let your Holy Spirit speak.
Yes.
Bless all that's said and done, we pray. In your wonderful name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of Revelations, chapter 3. Book of Revelations, chapter 3. Just standing in for Brother Marcel this morning as he's traveling, I believe. So, amen. Revelations, chapter 3, verse 14. And we'll be reading, by God's grace, up to verse 19. Amen. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. I'd like to take a topic. It's actually a continuation from the previous Bible study. It was fulfilling the commission. But by God's grace, I would like to focus on revival and repentance. And we'll see how the Lord leads this morning. Now, we look at this scripture, and it's a very familiar scripture, but we know that God's words are very eternal. And sometimes throughout our walk with the Lord, that things don't appear as what they seem in the beginning, and as we get closer to God, then the more that God unfolds to us. And so we know that revelation comes as we grow in the Lord and our eyes are open. The Holy Ghost opens things up at the right particular time in our life when we have need of it. And we don't get everything right in the beginning. He allows certain things, events to occur, certain timings to happen, and then he begins to take that word of God and make it alive to us. And many times it's by spiritual revelation that, you know, you look at it and then all of a sudden it makes sense to you what he's trying to say. Many times he also brings us into different trials or tests in life that bring about a truth that we would not have known had we not gone through that experience. And so it's all God's plan and how he works everything and all, because God, he has a whole plan. We don't always know what it is. But, you know, the more we grow in Christ, the more that we're able to take those things that happen and just say, the will of the Lord be done. And I believe that as we grow, we become more obedient and humble to God, and just we don't complain as much, and we don't ask the why question, why is this happening to me? Because God begins to, over time, begins to reassure us more and more of His Word and what it means, and that He is sure and He has everything under control. And so when we see time and time and again in our life that God stays with His Word, and a lot of the, you know, different parts of His Word, there are different promises, like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I love you. You know, all things work together. You know, there's several scriptures and promises, and those scriptures become more and more real to us that we can rely upon them throughout life. And so it's all, you know, as Brother Mike he's been preaching on the predator, but he's also, when you look at the scripture, it starts out with humble thyself. And so that is the whole, I believe, a key walk of the Lord is to humble ourselves into all the circumstances and different things that happen to us in life and what the Word of God says. And so the quicker we learn that, the easier it's going to be for us in our walk with the Lord. And then as we are humble ourselves, that's our attitude, and then God begins to open more and more things to us, right? And so we look in the scripture here in the Laodicean church age, and so some key things, and you could go on this and study it for years, I believe, because of the depth of it. But I just want to hit some highlights here and then go into the message of the hour of what it is talking about to further expand on what the scripture is saying. Now we know that he says, the accusation with the Laodicean church age is that they are neither cold nor hot. Now, he's speaking to the age in general. So, you know, hot being totally on fire for God, and cold being cold. I mean, it's formal. It's no feeling. It's just a formality. It's just, there's no emotion to it. It's just cold. You know, it's like an icicle. And so he's saying that in this time that he wants one or the other. Either you're all for him or you're all against him. But this condition of the age is that, you know, we have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know, we have a little bit of God and we have a little bit of the world. And we're mixing the two together. And so we're saying that we're Christians, but then we're also dabbling into these other things. And what it's doing is it's making our walk lukewarm, which is makes him sick, right? And, you know, we talk about lukewarm milk and how it'll make us throw up because it's not hot, it's not cold, and it's just a weird feeling. And so God doesn't want us to be that way. And we know that when we are on fire for the Lord, but if we let things creep in and we let compromises here and there and say, well, this is okay and that's okay, and you know what I'm talking about, then it takes away from the power of our walk. And then we begin to have a form of our walk, but there's no power there. So we look like a church person, and we act like a church person in form, but then there's no power in our walk. And when I say power, it's the power that's spoken of in the Word of God that you see demonstrated in the book of Acts in the apostles' lives, because that is the original, right? And so we see the fire of God, you know, inflamed in the lives of the believers in the book of Acts in a way that you knew that God was with them and you knew that there was power there. There was no argument. It was like, well, was that really there? It was without doubt. It's just like, you know, God is a God. He's very clear. You know, when he parted the Red Sea, he parted the Red Sea. When he sent plagues into Egypt, there were plagues there. It's very clear the might and the power of God, and we ought not to take less than the power of God. And so that's what the devil wants us to do, is to accept less. But we've got to say no, that this is what God promised, and I'm not settled for anything less than this. Because otherwise you become a church member on a pew. And so, you know, Gideon had that. He says, if God be God, where are the miracles? We know that. And you know, Elisha said, where is the God of Elijah? And so he was not satisfied. He needed to see the same God that was in Elijah come down that rained fire on the earth. And that's the God that we serve right now. And so it's the reason that we don't see God move in certain ways is because of us. Because we're slothful, we're lazy. And we'll get to that here in a second, because this is the age that we require so much repentance. This is the age of repentance. And so this is the age where this age was rebuked. Not just the nominal church member, but the elect was rebuked. Okay? Let me bring up something here. And, you know, I don't have this in my notes, but I just feel inspired to bring this up because of this topic of repentance. A brother sent me this quote here, and you all are probably familiar with it, but I want to bring it up here. Paragraph 103, and I'll mention the name of the message here in a second. So this is Brother Branham speaking. He says, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of not doing the job of God like I should do. So this is the messenger, right? This is Malachi 4. This is Revelation 10:7. And he's saying this, that he needs to repent. I'm confessing it, that I am wrong. If he's confessing it, where does that put us? And sometimes we get arrogant in our walk, and we say we're not like the denominations, or we're not like this, them, or that. And he's saying right here that he needs to confess. We need to confess. I'm asking God to be merciful to me. I look out here and see the opportunities I have missed because of petty things, little insignificant things that didn't mean nothing. I'm ashamed of myself. We can put ourselves all in this situation here. As a gospel minister before you, I repent before God. That's a humble man of God. So in front of a whole congregation, not only that, but there were a lot of other people that followed this ministry around the world. And he's saying this in front of them all, right? He's saying, I repent before God and ask God to forgive me and the church to forgive me for being so dilatory, lazy, about the work of God. By the grace of God and by the help of God, I'll not listen to what everyone trying to tell you something to do. And that's the distraction. Brother Marcel was bringing up the distraction of the believer, because we as believers must be singularly eyed and focused on Him and Him alone. Because you see the type in the Bible that Elisha had his eyes totally focused on Elijah. And Elijah represented the word of the hour. And so because his eyes were totally focused on the word and on Christ, that he was able to receive that mantle, which was the Holy Ghost, and then have the same works that Elijah did, right? And so that's our commission, is to have the same works that Jesus Christ did. And so we have got to shake off these distractions, and people distract, and they don't mean anything by it, but they distract, you know, whether they're friends, even other believers and things like that, because sometimes we get pulled in a way in the social aspect of our way, right? You know, and fellowship is good, don't get me wrong, but the focus is on Jesus Christ. Okay, if we're spending more time in fellowship, then you know, we've got to really check ourselves, because our time should be alone with Jesus Christ and Him alone. And everything else is on the side. Everything else is secondary to that. By the grace of God and by the help of God, I'll not listen. Okay, they got a program. They got something for you to do. Nonsense. I know God's program. It's written out here in the Bible. I'm ashamed of myself as a minister of the gospel. 1 million souls won. I ought to have 10 million souls won. Where does that put us, right? So that's the focus. When we talked about that, that God is in the business of saving souls. And that's His primary focus, is to save that which was lost. That was the redemption plan, right? That was the whole thing about the seals, was His plan of redemption. It was hidden, but it was made manifest. You know, we're accountable now, right? We know. So He says, I ought to have 10 million souls won. I'm way behind. What about you? How many souls you won since you've been in Christ? And it makes me feel ashamed. Brothers and sisters, you know, I've known this message for this many years. You've known the message for this many years. You've had the Holy Ghost for this many years. But what do we have to show for it, right? And so that ought to be something in our heart that continues to burn and burn more and more, that we've got to bring people to the Lord. I'm short of it. He's talking about how He's short of it. We all have got to repent and really ask God to really change. And you know, it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of swallowing pride. It takes a lot of getting out of our comfort zone to do this, right? And I believe if we truly have a desire to do the things that God wants us to do, that He gives us the strength and the power and the burden to be able to do these things, right? If that's the commission, then I'm just going to continue to pray and ask God to continue to move on me, right? And remember, you know, it's sometimes it's a decision that we just say, I'm tired of this and I've got to do this. This is what God wants me to do. And I don't care how embarrassed I get. I don't care, you know, how uncomfortable I am. This is what God wants me to do. If we're always comfortable, we'll go nowhere. Right? Right? You never improve when you're just complacent and you're just comfortable. You've got to be taken out of your comfort zone. You've got to be thrown out sometimes. And that's when you learn, right? You know, a kid's not going to learn to ride a bike or roller skate when they're just sitting down and studying it. They've got to go out there and actually do it. They'll fall down. They'll make mistakes. But, you know, that's the only way they're going to learn. He says here, if you're not winning souls, you're guilty. You are barren. You have brought much shame on the church and the gospel. So we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. How many people you get out for Wednesday night prayer meeting? If you're not doing it, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Wow, before Christ. You're guilty and your place is at the altar. I invite you to come with me for repentance. This is 1956, a blushing prophet. You know that he goes to the altar and he begins to pray. And he's the first one there, I believe. And so he set the example for us. He didn't sit on a mighty pulpit and say, like, you guys got to come down here and, you know, I can pray for you. He said, I need to repent. And he went down and he repented, right? And sometimes we have a hard time as individuals just to say sorry. We've got to grow up, brothers and sisters. So now, we're going into the scripture here. He says, so I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And he says in verse 17, in Revelation chapter 3, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so, this is between the lines, but it's the attitude of this age. So the attitude, and Brother Branham brings it a little bit deeper, and I trust we can get into the quotes, but he talks about a know-it-all attitude, a boastful attitude, and an attitude that I am right and you're wrong. That comes into this message, if you understand what I'm saying. That thought, that idea, that attitude comes into this message. Now, He talked about the Pentecostal believers having that same attitude. He says, you know, we've got it. We got the Holy Ghost. We're speaking in tongues. We have the gifts and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we're better than the Methodist, the Nazarene, and all these other people because we've got it, right? And so when they began to have that elite attitude and that they were better and they knew more and they were this type of, you know, that was part of their downfall. And I believe amongst the message believers that that attitude is amongst the message believers, that we are better, that we know more. We have the revelation. We have the seals. We have this. We have that. And then, you know, they're just, you know, trash or chaff or whatever you want to call it. That's the wrong attitude, brothers and sisters. Because where were you before God showed you this light? Right? And you didn't receive it because you did something or you were seeking for it. God, by His grace, gave you an understanding of who He was. Now He says this, question and answers on Hebrews number 2. He says, He talks about the move, you know, and we're not against people. We're not against the people in the denominations. You understand me correctly. But He's trying to discern, help us discern what's going on because, you know, sometimes the devil wants us to just be nice to everybody and not speak the truth. And we need to be kind to everybody, but we must speak the truth in love as the Scripture says. And so we speak the truth because love motivates us to speak the truth. Because you see somebody going in the wrong direction, you're going to scream at them and say, come back, because you don't want them to perish. And so the same thing is love projects us to do these things and to say things so that we can try to bring as many people to the right direction as we can. If we don't love them, then we're not going to say anything. And you know, Billy Paul Branham, he had this story. And it sinks in my mind, and it motivates me more and more that I should be able to talk about the things that we know more. And he talked about how he was a dentist for many years, you know, and he's seen this dentist, the same guy, and, you know, of course, we know who he is, Billy Paul Branham, right? He was the son of the prophet. And so he would go there, and then, you know, I guess this dentist, one time he found out who the prophet was, who William Branham was, and he had known Billy Paul for all these years, and he said, I want to ask you something, Billy Paul, you know, yes, he says, why didn't you ever tell me about your dad, you know, this man that you knew and what God did through him and all these different things, and you know, Billy Paul talks about how he felt this small, right? And, you know, that man, he said he really wanted to know. You know, when he found out about it, he wanted to know more about it. But he was maybe too ashamed. Maybe he was going to get out of his comfort zone and things like that. But, you know, he felt ashamed after that. And after that, it started to change him to be able to proclaim and testify. But that same thing the devil tries to get on us in that way. They're not going to listen to you. No, they're going to reject you. Why even bother? God's got His predestinated. All that are going to come are going to come. But you see, God is looking for us. Because remember, He is the head and we are the body. And so the body is the one that's actually carrying out the action. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so He has a desire. He has the thoughts in His mind, but they've got to be carried out. And we are the ones that are to be carried out, but He's waiting for us to catch the revelation. And when we catch the revelation, then we begin joined to the head, and then we begin to do the same things that Jesus Christ did on earth. Are we understanding? So He says, talking about, you know, the big denominational world, he said they didn't have the spirit to rally around. So they had to take the word to rally around. And you know, when we're saying word, we're talking about this Bible. You understand what I'm saying? We're not talking about the logos, the revealed word, you know. So he says, the word to rally on. So they did, and Billy's, now he's talking about Billy Graham. Billy's a word preacher and a dandy, and they rallied around so that put all of the cold formals in their rally. And the supernatural being, which is Christ, with divine healing and powers and workings and so forth by the miracles of God, put this, the church, the raptured bride that's got the oil in her lamp, put her in a revival. So I want to say something here about the revival, because I don't want you to misunderstand what the message or the scriptures talks about in the revival. Because remember, in the Azusa Street revival, there was a revival that was going on and God was moving. That was a genuine move of God, right? And he moved on the people in such a way that they began to have a desire to see God move in a powerful way. And that was genuine, and that was a work of God, and that is going in line with the scriptures. Do you understand? And so, but they had a desire, and God was moving on them, and they began to pray. And they began to pray and fast, and there was this big, huge hunger and desire. And then as they were doing that, then God came down, right? The Holy Ghost fell, and they began to speak in tongues, and the restoration of the gifts of God came to the church. And so when, after that happened, then there was a big move later on. That was 1909. 1946 took place, and God was doing another move of God. You understand? And we know that God called William Branham to lead that revival through an angel that spoke to him. We know that. And so we know that after that ministry started, that other revival fires ran through the earth. You know, this is not only in the message of the hour, this is on history. It's all undoubtedly recorded in history. And so we know that that was a healing campaign revival, because, you know, that gift that was in the prophet and then Oral Roberts and all these other healing campaigns, but that was a huge revival that swept the United States. And it swept for a very, very long time. But we know that Brother Branham talked about there was a junction of time that America had to make a decision, because, you know, God was doing something with them. God was showing them mercy. But then, you know, it was stay with it or go this direction. And we know that America in general chose the wrong direction. We can see it right now. Nobody can deny that this country is in a bad condition. Nobody can deny that. And it's because of the decision that America made to reject God and go their own direction. They wanted to be like the rest of the world. And so that revival, Brother Branham says, that revival ceased. And so, because you can see it in the message where they talk about, you know, why we used to pray all night. We used to have this first. We had this strong desire. But why has that faded away? It's because as an anointing, as an outpouring, that had ceased, or it was drawing back. Do you understand? And so that goes in line with also how he talks about the church ages. Are you following me?
Amen.
So remember that the book of Acts was a big, huge burst of light. And that was the first church age, right? And so that was when God was showing who he was and the original life of Jesus Christ here on earth. It was transferred from the man that was in the flesh, Jesus Christ, onto the believers. And they had that same spirit, and they were doing the exact same works of Jesus Christ. And remember how he brings it about in the light, in the, you know, like a moon, right? And you know that we are a moon, because we're reflecting Christ, just like the moon reflects the sun, right? And so we know that there was almost like a full moon in that first Ephesian church age, because that was the book of Acts. That's when God was moving mightily. There were many believers, and there was the power of God was moving in such a way. And we know that throughout time, that began to wane little bit by little bit. And so there was always a desire going through the ages that we would go back to the original. But we know that in the dark times of history, that seed of God had to be buried and there had to be almost complete darkness, right? And we know that was the dark ages when man-made dogmas and creeds and denominations and, you know, Hail Marys and all these kind of things, and the Word of God was hidden, the true Bible was hidden from the people by the Catholic Church. And so that was a dark period. But then God began to spring up light. And I'm saying this to try to catch everyone that's in here. And so as it began to grow and grow, then there was a little bit more light to that orb, if you understand. You know, the little crescent there on that we can see of the moon. So there was more and more light being reflected. But as you get to the very end, as the prophet was saying, and you can see it here in the scripture, you look at all the other Ephesians, all the others in chapter 2 and 3, but when you get to the last one, of course, it's very dark. And he's not even saying, you did this good. He said, you need to repent. Right? And so that's because of the condition of this age. But he said that there was light starting to form, but then there began to be gross darkness that completely covered into a total eclipse. Right? And so there was a little bit of light. And that's you and I, brothers and sisters. And so it was not like the first one. There was not as much light. It's because, remember, if you notice the pyramid, it comes into a minority in the end because of the dispensation, what was foretold, and how the scripture lays it out, that it'll be in a very small minority. And we know the pyramid represents Christ. If we look at the types and everything, it represents Christ. And we know that in Peter, it talks about the foundation of faith and going all up, and we're in the age of brotherly kindness, but moving into the very age of Christ. And so when we get to the very age of Christ, remember, Christ is love. He's a headstone, right? But we have to be joined together. And then when it's joined together, you and I will see the full manifestation of Christ in our lives. The very works that Christ did will be done through us. And that's when it's joined together. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there was that light that was, it was dimming. And so when we talk about a revival going on, there's not a huge revival that's going to happen, but there is a revival going on in the bride of Christ. Now he says, that's what he's talking about. She's got the oil in her lamp. She's got the Holy Ghost. And that put her in a revival. I'm going to have to skip through some things here. These are just wonderful things to talk about in here, but I've got to skip through just because of time. So, again, reinforcing that America has turned down her opportunity. He says, you remember 4 years ago in Chicago one day, this is in 1962, he says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said, this is it, and the revival is over. America has turned down her opportunity. It's on tape. And there won't be no more. Her last opportunity, she's turned down. The revival's over, we know. Okay, so I think you got that point. Now, I want to get to this here. Man, there's just... Let me read this for a second here. You see, there was a Holy Ghost series preached. Do you remember that one, right? And I want you to just catch the thought, because this is the mentality, this is the attitude that we've got to have. It's, you know, Brother Mike talked about it on Wednesday about, you know, desperation and the fervency that we've got. He says, if we come out here for a prayer service and we don't have fervency and we don't have desperation, then God's not going to meet our, if we come up here casually. And so when we look here, when he preached this message on the Holy Ghost, there was a consecration here. He says, this meeting is to be a little different meeting than what we usually have here. Mostly every time when we come together, it's a meeting for the healing of the sick and for the physical needs. it's the emphasis is put upon that, but tonight we have started this revival for the healing of the soul, the spirit of the man. And these weeknights we are greatly pressed to speak on the eternal things for the soul. Now we know that when a body is healed, that makes us all happy. Of course, we like it. Because we know that it definitely shows that our God heals the sick. But that sick person, if they live long enough, will perhaps be sick again. Maybe with the same disease that they were healed of, and that doesn't take away from healing. Right? The doctor will give medicine for pneumonia, and maybe 2 days later they'll die with pneumonia after he's pronounced them well. It occurs again. So he's talking about the difference between the natural and the spiritual here. He says, but when that soul is healed, you have then in you eternal life. And I believe that we are so close to the coming of the Lord Jesus that it behooves us to do all that we possibly can to bring every soul to the kingdom and to bring the kingdom to the people that we might be healed of our spirits. So it's good to have healing of the body, but more importantly, healing of the soul. I believe that the body of Jesus Christ is the sickest body that I know of. And we talked about that condition here. So first thing is recognize you have a problem. And now let's do something about it. That is the... Okay. So he begins on to say, so I have chosen to read and teach on for the next few nights. Tonight I want to speak on the subject of what is the Holy Ghost. And tomorrow night I want to preach on what was the Holy Ghost given for. And a Friday night to the recorders, he says, I don't want this recorded Friday night. How do I get the Holy Ghost and how do I know when I have it? It's interesting why he said that. I don't want it recorded. You know, this is like the key thing that a believer wants to know is like, how do I get the Holy Ghost and how do I know when I have it? But it was not recorded. But there's a reason. God does everything for a reason. But you see, God reveals everything. He doesn't show everything always in the open. But when we have the right attitude and the right heart, God reveals. And so if we have the right heart and the right attitude, God will reveal how to get the Holy Ghost. God will reveal, how do I know when I have it? But you see, some people want to jump to the answer, right? But sometimes God wants us to work for it. He wants us to press in different things. Now, I'd love to read the rest of this, but I just don't have any time. I really want to get to this other part about the bride a little bit, if I can. This is what he says. So he talks about denominational revivals. That's not what we're talking about here. We haven't had a real stirring. No, sir. Don't think we get... This is 1963, okay? So we're going to jump a little bit further after this, but this is in 1963 in the seals, the third seal. He says this. He says, don't think we got revivals. We haven't. They've got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. No. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. Just listen closely. This is 1963. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. See, there's been no revival there. No manifestation of God to stir the bride yet, okay? See, we're looking for it now. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. Yay, he'll send it. He promised it. Now watch. And seven thunders are scriptural. Just so everybody's clear on that. It's in Revelation 10. And Christ reveals what those seven thunders are, and those mysteries are to be finished in this last day. And it says the seventh angel will reveal what those mysteries are. And so the seven thunders were revealed, and that is what's going to bring the bride's revival. And so it hadn't because the seals were not fully broken yet. But after they were released, then all this is going to take place because Christ has opened himself up completely, right? And so that is what's going to cause the revival. That's what's going to cause the joining of the head to the body. so it's, he says here in another message, he says, recognizing your day and your message. Now he's talking about, I'm going to summarize here, that there are going, and Brother Mike talked about this last Sunday, he says, they're going for the oil right now. And you can see it, they want that revival. They know that there's something missing. And he says it in here, they know it's missing. He says, they're saying this, he's saying, they hardly print, he's talking about a newspaper called The Herald of His Coming, printing this, fast, pray, sound a trumpet. How many reasons? You know, see it all the time, fast, pray. It's all you hear, fast, pray. We're going to have a great breaking of the day. They want to see a revival, right? There's great going to happen. All of you, pray. We're not too late yet. Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing that there will be awakening. They're good people. They're all, this is a good, honest desire. What is it? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. And what is the awakening of the bride? Comes through the opening of Christ, which is the opening of the seals, which is the opening of the seven thunders, right? And so remember, Matthew chapter 25, they were all sleeping. The virgins were all sleeping, five wise, five foolish. But there was a midnight cry, it was a voice of God that came. And so they woke up. And so these people, there's people all around, they've woken up to it. But there is a true voice that they've got to hear. Those with the Holy Ghost, the true Holy Ghost, they're the ones that are going to go. And they're the ones that recognize. They feel the pull. He's talking about the rest of the world. They feel the pull of the hour, but they haven't recognized what's been done. They know something is supposed to happen, but see, they're looking for it way off in the future to come when it's already happened right by you. And so, brothers and sisters, it's happening right by you right now, too. Some of you recognize it, sometimes you don't. And it's, remember the scripture in Hebrews, dull of hearing. Many times we're dull of hearing because we're not paying attention, we're not focused. And so God many times passes right by you. The presence of God. You know, God will come down mightily in a service or mightily in a certain way, and you'll just miss it. And you'll say, what is all the racket about? What are they getting all excited about? Let's all stand here. That's the same thing they did in the old days. They was believing in a coming Messiah. They believed that there would be a forerunner come. But it was right on them and they didn't know it. They didn't recognize it. They believed there would come a forerunner that would forerun the Messiah, and they cut his head off and they killed their Messiah because it was prophesied that they would be blinded. Hosea said so. And don't think that just because you come to this church, and I don't mean to be direct, but I just say this for a purpose, but don't believe just because you come here and say you believe the message of the hour that you're free from all this and that this is not happening to you. This age must repent. We've got to repent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, you have the press going on, O Father. Lord, the hour is urgent, O Lord. And Lord, I believe that you're pressing upon each one of us, O Lord, the urgency of the hour that we live in, O Father. And Lord, the devil's trying to get us comfortable and complacent, O Father. But there's something that's just there that's just saying that no, there is an urgency. And we are not right. And we must be more sincere, more urgent, more fervent in the Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, let us just obey what you're saying, O Lord. You've written it all over the scriptures. You've written it all over the message of the hour, O Father. You're bringing it to us to light, O Father, and let us not just be hearers, O Lord, but doers of the word that you've given to us, O Lord. And not just leave here and say, that was good to hear, but let it stir our hearts to say, Lord Jesus, you know, I need to repent, O Lord. I'm not doing right, O Father. I've not been doing the things that you want me to do. Lord, to draw us into prayer and to more of a deeper relationship with you, more of a fervency, O Lord. And I believe that you will grow us and give us the unction, the desire, O Father, and let us meet that word, O Lord. Lord, continue to walk with your people, O Lord. Bless them, O Lord, as we go into the service, O Lord. Bring us to another level, O Lord Jesus. And, you know, let that word work in a way, O Father, to convict sin, deliver those that need deliverance, O Father. Correct the believer, O Lord. All those things, O Father. And encourage different things, O Lord. Meet the needs, O Father. And let it just work in us that we want to step forward and be those doers of the word. We love you, O Father. We thank you, O Lord Jesus. Have your way, O Lord. Have your will. In thy name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.